Yeah, so for me, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, Mark asked me to teach. It was kind of a little bit of a surprise. We had an elders meeting not too long ago, and it was like, hey, Josh, we're going to try to fit you in somewhere, May, June, July. I was like, oh, sounds great. He calls me and says, hey, 2 weeks while I'm gone, you want to teach? I said, sure. Passover. Let me just open up with prayer real quick. Father, we just come right now, we just thank you. We thank you for the testimony from Renee, Father. We just praise you. You are our King. We ask you right now, Father, just shortly, to open our ears and our minds and our hearts to what you desire for us to hear today. Let the words that are not for us, let them fall, and let those that are for each one of us, Father, touch our hearts. And we praise you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Whew. I'm not quite as nervous as Renee, but still a little nervous energy. I'm excited today. You know, Jeremiah decides to play that last song again, and it just got him back there like, man, I feel like I'm getting ready to come out on stage with a... get I'm all pumped up, jacked up. Okay. Jeremiah, 2 weeks ago, obviously came up with these songs, and it was ironic because one of the first portions that I'm going to talk about is literally the blood that runs through our veins. You would think that him and I would talk, being brothers. We train together. We see each other just about every day. But we don't get to talk too much biblical scripture. We just don't do that much. You would think like him and Mark would talk a lot more about that sort of thing, but it just ends up... not that way. So him and I had planned any of this whatsoever. Neither Renee, and she's jumping all over my message. So I've had three confirmations on what I'm bringing today. First was Terry last week, and what he spoke on was very powerful. And I'm sitting here like, Terry, slow down, because he was hitting on a lot of things that I want to get after today. And then Jeremiah's song choices, and then what you just spoke on, three confirmations for what I'm teaching on. I do want to start by giving a little bit of credit to two people, actually let's say three people. First, a little credit to my wife back there because she had a little extra child load this week with me having to study. You know, I always like to get things prepared, and sometimes when the kids go to bed and it's 9, 10 o'clock and you've been working all week, you're ready to fall asleep. So she let me do a lot of good bit of studying while the kids were still awake, which means her workload was more. So I appreciate her for sure. I want to give a little shout-out to Daniel Botkins and John Mark McMillan. A lot of people know who Daniel Botkins is, whether you believe in or agree with everything he says, or any Hebrew teacher, what they say. I was able to glean a few of his things from on Passover, some of his recent works that he did, which was very useful. And then John Mark McMillan is a singer, songwriter, a believer in Messiah, which I pulled another little portion based off of one of his songs he wrote. Not going to share the song, but based off one of those songs is where one of these portions come from. So there's three groups of people today that were probably in this congregation when we talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's what we're getting ready to speak about, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're going to talk to the newbie, person who may have never done an unleavened bread before. We're going to talk to the veteran, people who have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years, even some, 5 years. Who have been walking this walk. And then hopefully we're also going to talk to those people, which I call, there may be no one in here, and hopefully there's not, but if there is, Mr. and Mrs., does it really matter? A lot of people think, hey, a handful of the commandments of Yahweh, do they really matter? I don't really understand them. So we're going to kind of explore that as well. So whatever category you fit in, or some of us even cross over, sometimes we've been doing this for a long time, and we kind of lose the meaning of what this season is about. Or we don't really understand what we're talking about, what they're talking about. We're just unsure, skeptical about why am I really going in there and searching and getting things out of my house. You know, most of us here understand that leaven and the Feast of Unleavened Bread represents sin, which it does, and we're supposed to examine ourselves and remove it. We're going to dig deep into the scripture a little bit and try to find some of these things out. I won't take up too much of your time. Like I said, y'all have hit on a good portion already, so y'all give me about a half hour. Maybe 45 minutes, I'll get this going. I want to start in Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. I'm just going to read it to you. The words of Yahweh are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Yahweh, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So what I want us to grasp here in this very first portion is 4 things. Number one, the word of Yahweh is pure. Number two, it has been tried. Not only has it been tried, but it's been tried seven times. Seven is the representation of completion. His word is complete. And then two more things, he has preserved it forever. So a lot of us here, we think that things are potentially done away with, or, you know, we're moving on in this thing. He's a secular father, so his words are pure. This word, it has been tried, it has been preserved, and it is forever. Okay, so let's keep it on the forefront of our minds. How many believe here that we serve a God of order? We serve a father. We serve Yahweh as a father of order. There'll be a handful of people here, like Tony last night was trying to get some hands raised. There'll be a few things that I say today where everyone should be raising their hand. I'm going to call you out if you don't. Now, so he is a father of order. And so I want to kind of set the stage of the order of which way we are to walk out his word. And not only that, but the way we walked out this particular season, okay? So I'm going to start with a little story about a guy named Mephibosheth. Raise hands. Who knows who Mephibosheth is? A good portion of you guys. Excellent. So I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis. Rather than diving in and actually reading the story, I'm going to kind of give you an understanding of what kind of took place, which is going to lead me to the kind of the first point. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. And for all of us know that King David had a very, very special, close relationship with Jonathan. The scripture says that they were like brothers. And I just know the way I'm in with my brother and even the people that I call brothers, a very, very serious relationship. You do anything for him. And King Saul at the time was in war against the Philistines, and word came back that both he and Jonathan had died. And in haste, in those times, when a king died, when some of the sons died and the Philistines were pressing in, the children of the people of Israel really getting hammered back. Mind you, David was the king of Judah at the time, or getting ready to be the king of Judah. And young Mephibosheth was 5 years old, and in haste, his nurse grabs him, and they begin to flee, and in the process, he falls and becomes lame. He becomes crippled in both his legs. And as I was sharing this story with my wife, we both were I'm talking and we're both getting choked up because we have a special place in our hearts for someone who maybe have some lameness in the legs. But how many here today can say they've been broken or crippled or hurt, whether physically, whether spiritually, whether emotionally, from time to time? And so this goes right along with Renee's point of the father defending us, where young Mephibosheth, he loses everything. Later on in Samuel 2 verse 9, when he goes before the king, he literally calls himself, "What do you have to do with me? I'm a dead dog," is what he called himself to King David. So what happens is, long story short, King David, after the shift of power, there was one king after Saul, he gets killed as well. Finally, the children of Israel come and say, "David, we want you to be king of us all, Judah and Israel." He becomes king. Later on, he says, "Is there anyone else, anyone left of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of Yahweh to for Jonathan's behalf?" Is what he ends up saying. So they find one of the servants from the house of Saul and say, "Is there anyone?" He reports back and says, "There is one. His name is Mephibosheth, but he's crippled in his legs." Every time they mention him, they mention he's crippled in his legs. So we can imagine Mephibosheth, his life, everything gone, all his land, everything, was once a son of a king or future king, grandson of a king, has lost everything. Not only has lost everything, but we know in those days, Richard, there was no computer programmers. You know, there was no these indoor jobs where we can work. If you didn't have use of your legs, your eyes, your arms, your limbs, you were basically a beggar. And he calls Mephibosheth before David, and David says, "I'm here to show kindness on you on behalf of Jonathan. And you are going to sit at the king's table and eat from the king's table forever." Okay? Forever. Not only that, but he's going to reinstitute all of what King Saul had. It will be yours. And then his servants will work for you. They're going to plant fields and vineyards so you may eat. But not only that you may eat, but you will always have a seat at the king's table as if you were my own son. And as I'm thinking on this, and as Jeremiah sings that song, how many people know here that it's the blood that runs through our veins is the reason we have a seat at the table? Nothing that we've done has got us a seat at the table, but it's the blood that run through our veins. It was because of who Mephibosheth knew. and his bloodline that got him a seat at the table. So let that be on the forefront of our minds today. The reason we walk out what we walk out, the reason we remove the leaven, the reason we do the things we do are because of the blood that runs through our veins. The reason we have a seat at this table is because we have been invited by a king, very similar to what Renee was talking about. To continue this theme of starting with the heart and letting this be something that's inside of us that then pours out is very unique. It's actually crazy. Before I go in, Jeremiah said something else. I'll get to it later. He sat there, inspired by the Father, started talking about the love we have for our wives and our children. I'm going to talk about that later on. It's crazy. I'm sitting back there going, there we go. Well, I appreciate the confirmation. I'm just thanking the Father for it. So it starts in the heart. That's where it all begins. Yeshua says in Matthew 23, verse 25, it says, "Woe, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." How many here have showed some greed in their lives before? Some self-indulgence, some self-centeredness, some self. These are the things we're trying to remove ourselves from. Verse 26 says, "You blind Pharisees, first," not only, but first, it's a key word, "first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may be clean also." A lot of times in the Christian world and today, it's all about the heart. No, it's first the heart, not only the heart. So we have a foundation of where we start, but Yeshua himself says, first clean the inside, so that the outside may be clean also. But I want to bring ourselves to a story, a quick little portion here. Sarah would invite everybody here. We're inviting you over for coffee. Some of you guys, tea drinkers. Namitha, where's she at? Tea drinker. My wife drinks tea. You might be a tea drinker. So I'm inviting you over for coffee or tea, and we come out, the platter comes out, and there are four cups on the table. And I say, choose which cup you'd like us to serve your coffee or tea in. The first cup literally looks like it's been dipped in mud. Inside, outside, completely covered in mud. The second cup, the outside of the cup is perfectly clean, but the inside is full of dust and grime and goo and things like that. So you're like, oh, this one's a good, the inside does not look good. The third cup, the inside's spotless, but the outside has that grease and gunk and grime on it. Now, if you had choice out of three cups, would that third cup potentially be used because the inside is clean? Yes, it's a possibility. But then there's a fourth cup that's spotless inside and outside. So which cup would we choose? We would choose the cup that the inside and the outside is clean. So there's a handful of people, and I've been in this situation, I'm still in this situation from time to time, that may be looking around and searching, going, what's my calling? How can I be used? When we think about that scenario, which one would we choose? Which one would the Father choose? Which one, how do we prepare, or how do we understand what our calling is? Let's focus on the inside and the outside of the cup so that we then can be utilized to his best ability. Now, am I sitting here saying how many people, and everyone's not going to raise their hand, want to be used by Yahweh? Most of us do. We don't see all the hands, right? We see some. Most of us want to be used. I honestly don't want to, like Renee says, I'm, you know, nervous. I honestly don't love coming up here. You know, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes, you've always got to teach yourself, make sure you're on your P's and Q's before you deliver something. So honestly, I'm more comfortable, let's put it this way, my flesh doesn't desire to be up here, my flesh desires to be sitting back there listening to someone else teach. So all of us may not say we want to be used, but raise the hands, how many of us want to fulfill our calling, whatever that is? That should be everyone. So how do we fulfill that calling? How do we walk in that calling? Focusing on being that fourth cup, beginning in the heart and then letting it flow outside. Something I wanted to mention earlier on, but I don't think anybody in this building would be here if their heart was not sincere about serving the Father. So I don't want to be preaching at anyone, but this is a time that we need to be examining, and this is the time that each one of us in here wouldn't be giving up our Saturday, wouldn't be giving up Shabbat, wouldn't be here if our hearts were not in some form or fashion wanting to desire to keep the will of the Father, okay? A few verses here that discuss both the inside and the outside. Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Who shall ascend to the hill of Yahweh. Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands, the outside, pure heart, the inside. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says, since we have these promises, we know what those promises are. Behold, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement, both body and spirit. Body outside, spirit inside. And then James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, hands outside, heart inside. I don't believe he's concerned about the whole cup. This is a season of boaths. If we learned anything from Brad Scott when he came, which really spoke to me and it speaks to me every time, is constantly keeping on the forefront of our minds that it's not one or the other, it's both. And oftentimes in this season, we can get pulled one way or the other. We can get so intent on examination that we forget to enjoy and be glad, because this is a season that we were redeemed. This is a season that we were come out of bondage. It represents freedom. It represents Yeshua's sacrifice as well as his resurrection. We can miss the joy side of things because we're so concerned about, it's difficult sometimes when we sit back and we are trying to examine ourselves to find that joy. But at the same time, we can be on cloud nine, free, in everything we do, but we forget to actually cleanse ourselves, because we're who hears in their glorified body? No hands. We still have got things to work on. So here in this season, let's think about both being joyous, understanding the freedom, but also have that time of examination and function in both things rather than just one thing, okay? Because this is a celebration. We often speak of it as a celebration. And let's not forget that sacrifice. I want to jump into a portion of Scripture. 90% of the people here know these things, but I do want to just go over them for the sake of time. When Mark asked me to teach, he said, you teach wherever you like to, but if I were here, I'd be teaching on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, helping get the people prepared. So I want to, I know we have some new faces. We have some people who are maybe zealous. They may fit in that first group, or zealous, like, I want to do what Father wants me to do, but I really don't know how. So we're going to kind of go over that briefly, okay? So there's three things I want to talk about in this portion. First is going to just be strictly what is leaven. We're going to talk about it briefly, what is leaven. A second thing we're going to kind of discuss are some of the whys. Some of the whys, what we do and why we do them. Now, I want to take a little rabbi trail here and say the why isn't everything. Oftentimes, we focus on the why, or we don't do things because of we don't understand the why. Matthew 18:3 says, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, turning and become like a child, that's a teaching all of itself. But one of the portions of turning and becoming like a child, I believe, is having that childlike faith, that innocent understanding, that innocent obedience of the Father, whether we understand or we don't understand. And Yeshua himself says, unless you come to me as a child, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's unique. As I'm working on this portion here, this past weekend was MC's birthday, and she wanted a pink swimming pool, just a little swimming pool. She had got a little bit of money for her birthday, and she said, Dad, I want to buy a swimming pool. So we go there, and we are walking through Walmart. We had to get a few things, a little bit of turkey, a little bit of that. So we're heading to the lawn and garden section, where that's where the little swimming pools are. And we're walking, and out of the corner of my eye, it catches something that was 4 cents. Literally, it said four and then cents next to us. I'm like, what's 4 cents at Walmart? And it was the Easter section, and it was candy, okay? So I'm with my two little girls, and we're walking through, and I start to veer over there to see, intriguingly, what's 4 cents. Come to find out, the seven had fallen, and it was 74 cents. The seven had fallen. And as I'm walking over there, I'm about, you know, from here to there, and I'm like, what is this? Zimzy says, Dad, we don't do Easter. And I'm like, I know, let's walk on. It's funny, but listen to my heart here. She says, we don't do Easter. Just that simple. I don't even remember telling her about Easter. We talk about Christmas. Maybe Courtney did. I don't know. She's teaching our kids while I'm working. And praise the Father. But she says, Dad, we don't do Easter. Not, oh, maybe Dad's going to go look at that candy and, well, I don't mind eating some Easter candy, you know, that sort of thing. But no, because of what she was taught, she knows that we don't do these type of things. You think she understands what pagan is? You think she understands the reasons why? No, she doesn't understand those things. Will she eventually understand those things? Yes. But just because we don't understand a reason why does not mean the Father doesn't want us to still follow. Do we as parents not still want our children to obey us even though they don't understand the why? I always thought I'd be one of those parents, at least coming up, saying, I'm not going to be one of those parents say, because I said so. That's what I did. That wasn't my desire. But I find myself saying, it's because I said so. Because, and now that I have a little bit more wisdom, it's because they don't have the capability necessarily yet to understand the reason why. So if I say we don't keep Christmas and I explain to them all the reasons, it's not going to register. Eventually it will. But it doesn't mean I still don't expect her and expect him to do what their father says. And they do it because that childlike faith, the one that Yeshua says, without that, you don't enter. Okay? So it's very, very, very important. So that's number two we'll kind of get into. We're going to actually get some reasons why. The scripture actually tells us. But let it not be the end-all, be-all. Just because we don't understand, he still desires us to walk. Okay? And if we don't believe that, then we can no longer expect our children to listen to us because they don't understand the why. That makes sense? Here we go. The third thing, we're just going to basically look over some significance of some different aspects of the commands that are laid out in Exodus 12 and also Exodus 13. First thing is this, what is leaven? So leaven is a substance, a yeast or a baking powder that causes fermentation and expansion of dough or bread. There's a second definition that's fermented dough reserved for producing fermentation in a new batch of dough. Okay, so I'm not a bread maker, so I actually learned something new this season. So who's bread makers? How many people are bread makers? We got a few bread makers in the house. Steve's a bread maker. So I learned something new, that the absolute only two ways that you could make bread ferment and make bread rise and have leavened bread in those days were, number one, you had to put basically the dough, you had to put some water, you had to let it sit, and there's natural yeast in the air that over time, a day to sometimes several days, it takes for that yeast to attach, to ferment, then to rise, okay? The second way is once that actually takes place, you take a little bit of portion of that dough, that second definition, and you hold it back for the next day, add it to it, then you have a spread of fermentation to that new lump. Hence, we find out when Paul talks in Corinthians about a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The malice, we have a little bit of malice in our lives, it will leaven and spread through a community like leaven, okay? I, for one, didn't really get the analogy. I live in a world of sports. We get sports analogies. They got bread analogies because that's what they do. That was their main source of food in those days. So we can see that in the ancient culture, it was very easy for them to see that when we, when we remove the leaven, we're starting fresh. And that's really what he's trying to get us to think today and what he was trying to get them to do. This is a fresh start, okay? We're removing the old and we're coming out and being separate. This is a season of coming out, being separate, okay? So the Father tells us to do that. He tells us to do it for 7 days. We're going to read it in just a minute, but why 7 days? Again, seven is completion. We read in the beginning, his word is purified 7 times for completion. This 7-day period of time can help complete a work. Okay, so it's not just about the beginning of the feast in preparation. It's about the entire cycle, okay? Let's dive in real quick to Exodus 12. If you want to read along, if you are one of those that are inclined to line or write in your scriptures, a few things I want to point out in Exodus 12. I'm going to start by just reading and then I'm going to highlight a few things. Exodus 12, starting in verse 14. He had just shared with him about the lamb. And verse 14 says this, "This day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. For a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." Two things we learn about in this very first chapter. Number one, it's a memorial. What is a memorial? When we memorialize something, it's a remembrance, okay? keep this on the forefront. If you want to underline memorial, the first thing we do is this is for remembering. Verse 15 says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. You would think it would say get it out, but actually the first thing we're supposed to do is we shall eat unleavened bread. Why? We'll talk about that later. You shall eat unleavened bread. That's the first time that's mentioned. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your house. For if anyone eats what is leavened, from the first day until the seventh day, the person shall be cut off from Israel. Verse 16, on the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but whatever anyone needs to eat, that also may be prepared for you. So verse 16, we find out what we're supposed to do. We find out where the Sabbaths come involved. We have a Sabbath in the beginning, Sabbath in the end. Some people might ask why. It says it plainly right here. Verse 17 says, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this day I have brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations for statute forever. This is forever. We talked about the scripture earlier. His word is eternal. His word is forever. He's telling us to do this over and over. Verse 18 says, in the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whatever he is, whether he is a native, a sojourner, or a native of the land. We see himself in these compact verses. He repeats himself two or three times in a lot of situations. He's wanting us to get this, okay? And another point to bring out, if you're inclined to write, is native-born and sojourner, both, Jew and Gentile, okay? It's not just one or the other. It's all. It's a mixed multitude. We know that a mixed multitude came out, and that's who he's speaking to. How many? We're a mixed multitude. Am I right? So looking at verse 14 real quick, forever and memorial, two big things, remembrance. Verse 15 tells us how long. It's a seven-day feast. It takes 7 days to complete a work. Verse 15 tells us again to get it out of our houses. Where do we get that? You got to get out of our houses? From right here. Okay, verse 16 tells us when to start, when to finish. It starts with the Shabbat, ends with the Shabbat. Verse 17 tells us again, forever. In the beginning, he says forever. Verse 17, he says forever. He's repeating himself. 18, it tells us again, for a second time, you shall eat unleavened bread. And tells us for how long. And then again, just to recap, a mixed multitude comes out. Let's move over to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, I'm going to start in verse 3. This is just a reconfirmation a little later on of the very similar things. And it says, then Moses said to the people, remember, again, this is a day which you came out from Egypt. Remember, this is a day of our salvation. This is a time that we can remember when we have an opportunity to introspect and say what the Father did for us. Okay, this is also remembrance of our day of salvation. For it's by a strong hand Yahweh brought you out from this place. Like I told you, Renee, I didn't really have to go over this. You already told us. It's by his strong hand, right? It's by his might and his power that he brings us out. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out, and when Yahweh brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. I know I'm repeating myself. This is the scripture here. And on the seventh day, there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leaven shall be seen with you. It's not just out of our houses. We don't want to be carried in our pockets either. Okay? Dirk, we don't want to order it at the restaurant. No. No leaven shall be seen with you. No leaven shall be seen with you in your territory. This is the first time it's mentioned in our territory. Okay? What is our territory? Some might ask. Most people know. It's anything that we basically own is kind of my perspective. It's our land. It's our vehicles. It's our shed. right outside. You know, anything that is our territory and under our ownership, we do a good job to remove it out of there. Because this is what it says, okay? Our homes, our territories, our bodies. You know, when I was thinking about it, it was everything kind of points back, but you have the courts, the holy place, and the most holy place. So we have what's inside of us, most holy place, he wants us to remove it from. He also wants to remove it from our homes, the holy place, and then our territories, the courtyards, okay? So he wants it as far away as possible. He doesn't just say don't eat it and let it sit on the counter. He doesn't say don't just get it off the counter and throw it in the trash can. He says get the trash out, okay, as far away as possible. And remember, the reason I started this off with the heart was, is this what we're doing on the inside first? And all this other stuff falls down, okay? Bear with me, I'm wrapping up. We're talking about our territory, so remove from our territory. Verse 8, it says, you shall tell your sons. We want to know the why? Anybody want to know the why? He tells us this is what to tell our sons. This is a season, an opportunity to teach our children. Deuteronomy 6:7, we read it all the time. It says, word for word, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Them, meaning his commandments. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I don't feel like I do a good enough job talking and speaking and teaching my children the commandments of Yahweh. I do my best to try to walk them out and show them how to do them. But I, myself, need to do a better job of teaching them to my children, talking of them in my house as I walk, and those sorts of things. And it tells you right here, this is what you're supposed to tell your son. If there's any good time to share at any point your personal story of how you gave your life to the Father, your Exodus experience to your children, this is the time. For it says in verse 8, you shall tell your son on this day, it is because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt. It's for what Yahweh did for me when he came into my heart, when I had that blood transfusion. This is the reason we do this. And it is to be a sign on your hands. It's what we do. It's to be a memorial on your eyes. It's to remember that the law of Yahweh may be in your mouth, what we speak. For with, again, he repeats himself, for with a strong hand, Yahweh has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute as an appointed time from year to year. So he repeats himself again, verse 3 and verse 9, about remembering, a memorial, and a strong hand. How many people in here know that we shouldn't boast? The Father tells us clearly, he will boast. I am the man. It's by my strong hand that I come out. We are to boast in his power, in his majesty, and for what he did for us and for what he did for them. I don't think we do a good job in our Western culture and society passing on stories and lineage and things like that. I was reading something not too long ago about, it was from an old First Fruits of Zion book, like Torah Club 1. And it was talking about how he went into a house and he was a painter and it was in Israel or somewhere like that. And on the walls were pictures of rabbis and teachers and things like that, where on the Western walls that we have, it's Spider-Man and it's Batman and it's all these other different things. They have a much better understanding of how to teach their children and bring on the lineage of grandparents, all these different things. We are always trying to just create our own destiny. You're right, you see what I'm saying? Versus being able to learn and teach from these things. And I'm talking to myself first about teaching my children, number one, and my family. But by a strong hand, he wants us to know. He wants us to remember year after year. It's by his strong hand. It's by his sacrifice that we are redeemed. Nothing we've done on our own. This goes along with what we started. And it's to be done year after year. I wasn't going to get away, Terry, without throwing a little sports reference in there. But everybody knows, I don't care if you are a little bit older and you knit. I don't care if you play sports. I don't care if you lift weights. Whatever it is, everybody knows that when you want to get good at something, it takes repetition. It takes practice. It takes training. So whether you want to be the best athlete, whether you want to achieve a certain goal, or whether you want to maintain where you're at and not go backwards, it's about repetition. But for some reason, we kind of want to buck repetition. The point here that I want to bring out real quick is that a lot of times we overlook the Father's reminders. He reminds us of things, but we really don't pay him much attention. At least I don't sometimes. Even though we do them through repetition, through going through the motions, I don't think we appreciate that reminder. This brings me to the point of what Jeremiah was talking about. How many here are married? How many people in here have moms and dads? Okay? I'm speaking to the younger adults as well. Do we not desire, because the love of our in our hearts, to remember their birthday or remember our anniversary? I know if I forget my anniversary or my wife's birthday, I'm not going to be in a good spot, to be honest with you. Okay? So if I'm a day away and I've forgotten and someone reminds me, do you know how thankful I'm going to be? I'm going to be extremely thankful. But yet the Father reminds us of things, and I don't feel very much appreciation for his reminders. But the earthly things we do in this planet, we sure remember and we sure think about. Why? Because of the love. Jeremiah said it today. Because the love we have for our wives and our children, wives and children, is because of that love that we remember and that we do. It's not just remembering. How many in here can just say happy anniversary, give their wife a high five, and walk on off, and I'm done for the day? If you've got that relationship, then hey, it sounds good. Mine would like me to put a little bit of thought and a little bit of effort into that situation. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just enough to remember, but there's also action that's required, and there's desired action. I desire in my heart to do something special. I desire in my heart to make plans, to take her out to dinner, to bring her flowers, whatever, to set that time apart. Well said. Because of the love in my heart, okay? So here we say, because of love in our hearts for our spouse and our children, we remember these special times and occasions. But when we look at the scripture and he reminds us, we just read over. We don't show near as much appreciation for his reminders. So when he says to remember something, when he says it's a memorial, let's think about, hey, my earthly reminders, my earthly memorials, I appreciate. If my alarm goes off and I forget something, I'm setting reminders all the time because we're forgetful. So if I can't remember things on this earth, we need to remember these things in his scripture. So let's not overlook the Father's reminders and take them for granted like we often do. At least I often do. If you can raise your hand in here and say, hey, I appreciate him, and you're, we're happy. No, she said, is she going to appreciate it if we do her birthday on another day? Or wait, didn't I just tell you that happy anniversary like last year? You want to do it every year? Yes, he does. He said every year. And our wives say every year, men. And vice versa. I mean, we want to feel appreciated as well, us guys. And wives are just more focused on these things than we are sometimes. So with this, really, in closing, just to kind of bring an end to what we've discussed today, there's kind of three points that I wanted to bring out. Number one, hopefully we've gathered and understand that it starts in here. It starts in the heart. It starts with the areas in our heart is how we then flow out. It doesn't go the other way around. We can pull out every piece of leaven, do everything else, but if we're not examining inside, if we're not working on the inside, if it doesn't derive from here like our wives and children, it derives from our hearts is the reason we do it. We don't do it because it's not inside. Let's make sure it's inside of us first. Along with that, understanding where we got that seat at the table. When we're sitting at that table, that Passover table, and praising the Father, it's through that blood transfusion that we have. It's because of who we know, not because of what we did. That's first and foremost. Number two, for any of us in here that are sitting back going, what's my purpose? Let's focus on cleaning the inside and the outside of that cup so that we can be used. Because when we do that, we properly have ourselves in position. That's when the Father, I believe, will move on our behalf, just like we would move and grab that cup. We're not going to just grab any old cup. We're going to grab the cleanest cup we can to utilize. And that's what I believe the Father's looking for. And then third, let's not, and I'm speaking to these people who've been going through the motions. We've been going through, I'm speaking to me first here. We can easily, in this time and season, go through the motions. Yeah, I've examined myself, moving on, doing that sort of thing. But let's not go through the motions. Let's remove and insert a portion of the scripture that we're talking about here is eating the unleavened bread. We haven't talked about that yet, but eating and partaking of unleavened bread. Why does he say to do that? Well, it's the children of Israel remove themselves from slavery. They're now free. They're now a free people. What does the father do? What's his next move? He gives him the oracle. He gives them the word. So here we are. We're removing. We're coming out and being separate. And he tells us to put in unleavened. Put in unleavened for 7 days. So in the forefronts of our minds, it's not good enough just to not lie, not steal, not murder. He wants us to love our brothers. Am I right? He wants us to give and share. There's do's and there's don'ts. There's a lot of don'ts. Don't do, but there's a lot of do's as well. You've got to love your brother as a do. It's not good enough just to not murder. We have to love as well. Otherwise, we're not fulfilling both, okay? So in this time, let's not go through the motions. I myself am going to try to, when I eat that unleavened bread, what have I done to look more like the Messiah? Have I shown love? Have I shown mercy? Have I not lived my life with malice and strife and anger or whatever it may be? What are the things that I'm doing differently from removing? What are the things I've removed? What are the things I've inserted? What things am I going to begin to walk in new? Which fruits of the Spirit I'm going to try to function in more often? Okay? And most of all, walk out this season with a cheerful heart. Oftentimes, whether it's this season or whether it's Yom Kippur, we're just kind of... But these are seasons of joy because we have a Messiah who has redeemed us. Okay? Keep that on the forefronts of our minds and our hearts that we are going to inspect ourselves. We are going to physically clean out the leaven and walk in his way so that we can learn and so we can remember and so we can do all these different things. We're going to teach our children, but we're going to do it with a cheerful heart and with purpose. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am Zealous, over Zion. I am Zealous.